All right, folks, I would like for you to turn in your Bibles to Mark chapter 1. We're going to wrap up chapter 1 today. We're going to focus in on verses 35 through 45. Mark chapter 1. So what we've done is we've started a series through the Gospel of Mark with one purpose: getting to know Jesus. And as we go through Mark's account, we're going to see that Mark is wanting to communicate to us so many different things about Jesus. And as we look at them, we can find encouragement. So in the past, we've looked at the reality of who he is in his introduction. We saw the reality of the authority that he has and the reality that he wants to minister to people. So today, we're going to see another introduction in his early ministry here in the Gospel of Mark, where he comes across people. And what we're going to see is three elements emerge. We're going to see three different things that emerge. And if you look through the rest of the Gospel, you're going to see that they always exist. One is prayer. Now, what do I mean by that? He gets alone with God. And that can be an example for us. The second is faith. Not faith from Jesus, but faith from people who are seeking Jesus and wanting something from Jesus. And then the third, which I think speaks to all of us, is willingness. He wants to touch people's lives. Now, why do I say it's important for us? Because a lot of us, maybe you're going through something right now, maybe it's some sort of difficulty, and the reality is you're thinking to yourself, does God really have time for me? Doesn't he have that whole Iranian thing going on right now? What is it about me? Well, what we're going to see is that he is willing, even down to you, to do something. So let's take a look at the passage together. We're going to start with verse 35, go through the end of the chapter. But I want you to notice what Mark records. And rising very early in the morning, while it was still dark, he departed and went out to a desolate place, and there he prayed. And Simon and those who were with him searched for him. And they found him and said to him, "Everyone is looking for you." And he said to them, "Let us go on to the next towns, that I may preach there also, for that is why I came out." And he went throughout all Galilee, preaching in their synagogues and casting out demons. Verse 40. And a leper came to him, imploring him and kneeling, and said to him, "If you will, you can make me clean." Moved with pity, he stretched out his hand and touched him and said to him, "I will be clean." Immediately the leper left him, and he was made clean. And Jesus sternly charged him and sent him away at once, and said to him, "See that you say nothing to anyone, but go show yourself to the priest and offer for your cleansing what Moses commanded for a proof to them." But he went out and began talking freely about it and spread the news, so that Jesus could no longer openly enter a town, but was out in desolate places, and the people were coming to him from every quarter. Now, folks, I kind of mentioned to you there's three elements here. That's going to be our three sections. And so I think there's some things that we can learn from each one. First of all, the whole issue of prayer. I think it's amazing to me that when you talk about Jesus praying, he always does it alone. He's always off by himself. He always does it early in the morning. And there's something for you and I to learn from that. Okay? So let's take a look at that first section. So first of all, I want you to see, when we look at verse 35, it's basically rising early in the morning, while it was still dark, he departed and went out to a desolate place, and there he prayed. Three things I want you to see here. Three things that I hopefully will speak to you, okay? Here it is. meeting with the Father in prayer was a priority. When it came to Jesus, even though he's the second person of the Trinity, he's the Son of God, he's God, and he can do whatever he wants to do, and he does, he made it a priority every morning before it got light to go and meet with God the Father. Think about that. He wanted to meet with Jesus, and Jesus wanted to meet with the Father. Do you see what I'm saying? The Father wants to meet with Jesus. Jesus wants to meet with the Father, and it's a priority. Now, can you think about that for a moment? So I can think about it for a moment. When I was dating Lori, I met her in 91. We started dating in 92. When I started dating Lori and got really interested in this girl who was beyond anybody else there at that school, I made every effort to see her. I cleared my schedule. You know what I'm saying? I would go take my, normally when I worked at the office there, I was a graduate assistant in the youth ministry area. I would go out for lunch with other people. I would take my lunch and go meet with Lori. Why? Because Lori became a priority to me. Okay? Lori became a priority. So I would do what I could do to get with her. I think some of you understand what I'm saying. When you were dating your sweetie, you made every effort to what? Get with them. It was a priority to you, right? That communicated that that person was special to you. Jesus made God the Father his priority. So he met with him. So here's the question. Is he a priority to you? This is something I've been wrestling with for the last few months. So I believe in the Lord. I've been walking with him for going to be 41 years. I've seen him do marvelous things. I've seen his hand guiding me. I've seen his work in my life. I know that he loves me. But I've been wrestling with, okay, you've seen it, but has it impacted you enough that you want to meet with him? Like that's a priority, George? Jesus, it was a priority. And when you read through the Gospels, you're always going to read, he got alone and prayed, sometimes through the night, interacting with the Father. Now, I'm not telling you, because some of you are like, I'm not a morning person, George. I'm not saying get up before the crack of dawn, you know what I'm saying, and read your Bibles and pray. Now, some of you, you can do that. My recommendation is don't use your Bible app, use a Bible. Because when I use my Bible app, guess what happens? I keep getting bing, bing, bing. Oh, there's so-and-so. And I forget my Bible reading, okay? I would encourage you, just get alone with him and talk to him. Maybe it's the beginning of the day. Some of you, it might be the middle of the day. Some of you, it might be in the car. But make him a priority. Jesus made him a priority. Now, there's a couple of other things I want you to see. Here's the other one. He made an effort to get alone and pray. He made an effort to get alone and pray. Why? Because when you're with other people, guess what happens? You get distracted, right? And think about this for a moment. It's a good thing that Jesus got alone on his own, because we saw from the passage, who's looking for him? Everybody. If he didn't get alone, he would have people coming to him and asking him for something, right? Lord, can you heal my sickness? Can you heal my daughter? Can you do this? This friend of mine who's demon-possessed. I mean, he would be constantly being hounded, and he needed to get alone. So let me ask you a question. I'm married. Some of you are married. Some of you are in relationships right now. And so, therefore, when you're talking about intimate relationships, There are times when you have conversations when it's just you and the other person, right? Right? Why do you do that? Because you want to talk to them openly without having anybody else, what? Interfering. You don't live stream your conversations, do you? So that everybody can hear what's going on between you and the person that you're interacting with, right? You do it alone because that's important to you. Jesus made the effort to get alone and talk with the Lord. Something for us to learn from. Here's the third thing. Prayer prepared him for the next task. So if you look at the passage, it says he went off on his own, he prayed alone in the night, and then guess who came to look for him? Simon. And what does Simon say to him? Lord, they're looking for you. People are wanting something from you. People are looking for you. And what does Jesus say? It's time for us to go on to the next villages, and I need to preach the gospel there. See, the prayer prepared him for the next task. That spoke volumes to me this week. Because I think some of us pray like this. This is how I prayed. We pray in reaction. What do you mean? We go to the Lord when something happens. If there's a crisis, what do? Lord, there's a crisis. I need you to help me. Lord, I've got this bill that came in the mail. I wasn't expecting it. Lord, I had to go to the doctor. I had to go to QCare, and I got that bill. What am I going to do? Lord, the boss said this. What am I going to do? Jesus prayed the exact opposite. He prayed before anything happened, right? And it prepared him for what? The next task. It got him ready for what? What was coming? And then we're going to see. So when you look at him, you're always going to see that through the New Testament. It's things that we can learn on. That's the first element. The second element is something that you and I can resonate with, and that's faith. Faith. I want you to look with me. We're going to look at this next section, verses 39 and 40. And we're going to learn some things here, hopefully. Look with me, verse 39. And he went throughout all Galilee, preaching in the synagogues and casting out demons. Verse 40. And a leper came to him, imploring him, and kneeling said to him, "If you will, you can make me clean." Faith. That's what we're going to talk about here. I want you to see a couple of things here. All right? A couple of things. First of all, let me explain to you what leprosy is. We understand leprosy because sometimes we see pictures on the news or on National Geographic or something about leper colonies, especially in tropical places like Southeast Asia, South Central Asia, and maybe in South America or something. And what we see there is people who have parts of their bodies that are missing because they have Hansen's disease. Hansen's disease is where your nerves are no longer functioning as they should, and so you wear off parts of your body. That's a form of leprosy. It's called leprosy to some people, but leprosy in the biblical sense was something more than that. Leprosy was any kind of skin problem. So we understand that, right? If you had a rash, you were considered to be a leper. Any kind of skin problem would make you a leper. Now, the problem is the law said that if you had leprosy as it was defined by the priest, you were then to separate yourself from the community. You became an outcast. Nobody would have anything to do with you. They wouldn't even go near you. In fact, were not allowed to go near anyone in case you would give them whatever it is that you were struggling with. And you had to cry out to people. Let's say if I walked into the room and I'm a leper, before I walked into the room, "Leper, I'm a leper, unclean," because you would be considered unclean now. And everybody, guess what you would do? you would leave or go to the back corner and hang out over there and keep your eye on me because you didn't want to be anywhere near me. Talk about being socially outcast. That's this guy. And would he be desperate? Yeah, he would be desperate for somebody to help him. So two things I want you to see here about his faith. Because this guy obviously heard about Jesus. Because people were going to Jesus and they were getting their sicknesses taken care of. He was casting out demons. So he obviously heard that this Jesus could do it. This Jesus could help him. And so we see from verse 40 a very interesting thing here. A couple of points I want to show you. Here's the first one. The leper believed that Jesus could heal him. That's faith. Notice what he says here. If you will, you can make me clean. Now, it's not a question of doubt here. He's not doubting that Jesus can do it. Do you notice that? If you will, it's not questioning whether Jesus can do it or not. It's a question of whether Jesus wants to do it or not. Do you see the difference? Because the next statement is, you can make me clean. That's reality. You can do it. The question is, do you want to do it? And he says, Lord, if you can and you're willing, you can do this. You can do this for me. He believed that Jesus could heal him. He's expressing that, okay? He's expressing that. Here's the other thing. Having a confidence that Jesus can do it, he asked to be healed. I always think it's interesting. He gets right to the point. He knows that Jesus can do it. He gets right to the point, and what does he ask? Same thing we would ask if we were in his situation. God, can you make my problem go away? Can you heal me? Can you do something for me? Because I can't go on this way anymore. And he knows that Jesus can do it. Let me just stop for a moment. What's the lesson there for us? The lesson I think that there's for you and I in all of this is, how are you asking when you pray? What do you mean, George? Well, all of us here would identify as Christians, right? All of us here would identify as people who believe in Jesus Christ. Okay, so that's we're all on that level. Now, if you get into the weeds a little bit, that belief in Jesus can be distinguished in several ways. What do you mean? Well, you may believe in Jesus, but you maybe don't believe he can solve your problem. Whereas somebody else may believe in Jesus and he has faith that Jesus can do whatever if he's willing. Do you see the difference? And how do you know where we're at in this, George? I don't know where you're at, but you do. When you think about the issues that you're going through and you're asking the Father to help you in some area and you're going to him, do you believe he can say to solve the issue and bring salvation to your life and your issue? Or do you just pray because maybe that'll work? Because you believe in God, but you know what? I haven't seen him do anything lately, so therefore, I don't know. Maybe he'll do it, maybe he'll not. In fact, we'll give him an out. If it's your will. You ever hear anybody say that? If it's your will, Lord, you could heal. That's actually a statement that reflects a lack of what? Faith, right? Faith. So this guy goes and he says, I know you can do this. The question is, do you want to do it? He had a confidence. He had a confidence. Now, what happens in verses 41 to 45 is where I think this will speak to us. It's the issue of willingness. So let's take a look at it. So first of all, let's notice verse 41. And let's think about what he says here. Moved with pity, he stretched out his hand and touched him and said to him, I will be clean. I think if you understand what this guy's struggling with, leprosy, when you understand that whatever it is probably contagious, when you understand that he's living basically isolated from everyone else, nobody wants to have anything to do with him, this guy probably hasn't been touched by another human being in a long time. Do you realize that? That's the kind of life this guy, he was an outcast. Can you think about that? I cannot imagine going throughout the day without human touch. Do you know what I'm saying? Without experiencing a hug from my wife. I can't even imagine, like with my little guy Thaddeus, when I see him on the weekends, when Foster and Lauren come over, we go visit them, touching my grandson and snuggling with him. Just the human touch. I mean, we live for human touch. Do you understand that, right? We were created to be touched. Do you understand? You think about a guy who is living his life totally isolated, who's got a disease he can't do anything about, that basically what? Keeps him separate from everyone else. And then I want you to notice Jesus. Because it's what Jesus does, and verse 41 brings it out. It just blows your mind. Look again at verse 41. Here's what he says. Moved with pity, he stretched out his hand and touched him and said to him, I will be clean. Three things that I think hopefully will speak to you. All right, here's the first one. Jesus is compassionate. Can I say that again? Jesus is compassionate. Some of you have been listening to lies. Some of you have been listening to spiritual lies. Because right now you're going through something and you're wondering, does Jesus care? Does God care? I feel like I'm in this alone. Do you care? Do you even understand what's going on, God? And the reality is, listen to me, I need you to understand that is a lie. That is a lie. I want you to understand that the Jesus whom you have given your life to, the Jesus who died for you, the Jesus who rose from the grave and gave you eternal life, that Jesus is compassionate and he loves you. And Jesus looked at this man who was isolated, ostracized, struggling with some kind of skin disease that in their culture and in their community would cause him to be completely isolated from people so that he wouldn't even sense another person touching him. Jesus looks at him and he has pity. Now, we sometimes in our culture make pity sound like a bad word. No, it's just the word that reflects that Jesus' heart is breaking for this guy. Some of you need to hear that. Whatever the situation is that you're facing right now, Jesus' heart is breaking for you. Sometimes we need to hear that. Even if you're the one who created the problem. And we do create problems for ourselves, right? He is compassionate. In fact, I want you to notice with me, it'll be up on the screen, Matthew chapter 9, verse 36. And when he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. This is Jesus. And I'm going to be honest with you. This is an element of who he is, what we're going to see about him as we go through this gospel. Yes, he gets alone and prays and gets ready for the next task. Yes, there's faith from the people who are wanting something from him. But the reality is if this didn't exist in his life, his compassion, he wouldn't have reached out and touched people. He wouldn't have reached out and helped them. Here's the second thing I want you to see. He does the unthinkable. What? Look at what it says in verse 41. He had pity on the guy, and what's the next thing he does? He stretched out his hand, and he touched the guy. Now, in our culture, that would we would just blow by that, not think about that. But I'm going to be honest with you. This is the unthinkable. Because in their law-based Jewish society, touching a leper makes you unclean. And when you're unclean, you can't partake in the community anymore. You can't go to the temple and worship. You can't do anything. And so the thought of touching somebody who's got this skin disease is beyond anyone's comprehension. In fact, probably the disciples, I can almost picture it in my mind. The disciples that were with Jesus when they're there and this guy comes up and everybody, I mean, he would have to announce that he's a leper. This leper is there. He's interacting with Jesus. I can almost tell you where the other disciples are. Back there somewhere looking at this whole situation. They wouldn't be right next to Jesus for fear of who? The leper. And he does the unthinkable. Can you let that sink in? Because sometimes we box God in. We box Jesus in, and we think that there's only one way he could act. There's only one way he can do things, and that we've got him figured out so much, you don't have him figured out. You don't, and you're going to see that throughout this entire gospel. The religious authorities had their way, but Jesus always does the unthinkable. In fact, that's why he gets attacked by them, right? He's willing. He's compassionate, and he does the unthinkable. And so here's the third thing. Here's the reality. He's willing to intervene. He touches the guy, and guess what happens? He gets healed. What's the word there for you and I, George? Well, I don't care what it is that you're going through. I don't care what it is that you just went through. I don't care what it is that you're facing. Do not ever let yourself think that whatever it is you're facing, God doesn't, cannot, and will not be involved with it. He's willing to be with you in the midst of what you're going through. And so he'll do the unthinkable. And that's why the scripture will say things like his faith made him whole. It's because this guy believed and Jesus responded to that and he made him whole. In fact, I look at this and I'm like, when you look at the last part of it, I was kind of like, Jesus commands the guy, don't tell anybody, go show yourself to a priest and make the offering. Now, what is Jesus doing? He's telling the guy, according to the law, if you were cured of leprosy, you had to go to the priest. Why the priest? Because they're the ones who declared you a leper. A leper. And you would go to them and they would examine And they would say, okay, you're no longer a leper. And then you would have to make the sacrifices at the temple according to the law of Moses. So Jesus is telling him to do what the law says. But guess what? And don't tell anybody. But what the guy does, what does he do? He tells everybody. We can understand that, right? Don't hold it against him. My goodness. And he's not holding it against him because the guy goes and spreads more news about Jesus. Jesus healed me. It's only natural. And again, I was thinking about this and I thought, man, if you hang out with me at all during the week, I'm probably going to show you my phone, which is the latest picture of my grandson. Okay? Why? Because that excites me. So I got to tell everybody. Okay? I can't imagine what it would be like for God to do something this tremendous in my life, like healing me of leprosy, and not tell anyone. You've got to tell people. And that's what this guy does. Why? Because Jesus is willing to intervene. And we're going to see this throughout this entire passage. Now you're saying, okay, George, all right, what do I do with this? Because you kind of hit on three different things. Yeah, but three things that are interconnected. Because the reality is that Jesus and the Father are communing with each other even now. We need to follow that example, commune with the Lord. Second thing, how's your faith? There was a time when you believed that God could do anything. For some of you, it was soon after you became a believer. And you talk to him about everything. But what happens with most people is as life goes on and you've seen one disappointment after another, then you're asking him about only the big things, but no longer about the little things anymore. And then eventually you quit asking. How's your faith? Do you believe that God can do what only God can do in your situation and in your problem? Let me help you with growing that faith again, is realizing, because somehow we've listened to lies, somehow we've forgotten, somehow we have ended up with a conclusion that's wrong. I want you to look at what he did with this guy and see the reality. Number one, he is compassionate, and he has compassion for you. He loves you. Number two, he's willing to do the unthinkable. And he will. And he's willing to intervene. What a Jesus, right? We just need to love him again. Because he's alive. And he wants to interact in your life. Let me pray for you.